Maine Governor Paul LePage on Tuesdays, when schedule allows, dials into the George Hailrick Tyler Show. Good morning, sir. We understand you sent a Valentine to the legislature.
Yes, I did.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
How do you think it was received?
Oh, horribly. I mean, everything I've ever sent up to the legislature has not been well accepted. So it's been a rough couple of years. It's the 127th. Let's put it this way. I was hoping 2015 would be over with and done with, and we'd move on. But 2016 started out even worse. So it's going to be a long year.
Governor, I have a question for you, and it's an honest question. I hope they're all honest here. There are not many advantages to getting old, but one of them is I've seen everything. In your letter yesterday, you used the term socialism or socialist about 13 times. Now, there are many people who would have given different definitions. People would argue that the military, the police, the fire department's plowing the roads this morning, libraries, Social Security, Medicare, public roads and bridges. They would all say, that's socialism. What is socialism to you?
Socialism to me is exactly what's going on with tax conformity, where the federal government and the rest of the country is saying, okay, we're taking some of your money. We believe that you should have some of it back, and they give it back and allowing certain groups like teachers and students and hard-working small businesses to pay a lesser of a tax burden. But you have a group in Augusta that there's not enough money in your pocket that will satisfy them. That, to me, is socialism. It's wherein someone wants to take all of your money and they want to do the redistribution of your wealth to somebody else. And at some point, as we've seen in other countries, you run out of other people's money.
And are we at risk of having that in the state of Maine?
Yes, we are. Not only in the state of Maine, but even at the country. You know, one thing this campaign is not talking about that scares the daylights out of me is we're at $20 trillion, and we're approaching $20 trillion in federal debt. And experts, economists are saying once we hit $23 trillion, it's going to be nearly impossible to ever come back. We're going to be like Greece. We're going to be essentially a third world country because we won't be able to pay our debt. Right now, our entitlements and our debt account to like 71% of our federal budget. We're not far from being where when it hits 80, it's over.
In your letter, State of the State letters, I guess we're going to call it, you did detail your top priorities, and you asked the legislature to work with you so that you can move the state. And the focus, again, on the heroin epidemic that kills Mainers every week. What is the top two or three priorities that you really think that the legislature might work with you on?
I don't expect any of them. George, let me tell you, the reason I decided to send it up in a letter form is very simply, as I said earlier, 2015 was a horrible, horrible year. And then 2016 starts out with several legislators falsifying documentation and stories about my involvement in trying to fire people, educating Congress, and those type of things. Representative Danny Martin and Socher up in Presque Isle saying that I got involved in something that I never had any knowledge of. That was started by my tipping. So if you get that on day one, it's going to be, you know, confidence of getting much done is weakened. So I really don't expect it. I just think that I am going to continue to do my town halls every week. If they do want to work with me, it would be a pleasant surprise. But if they don't, I'm going to continue doing my town halls, and I'm going to put my faith in the Maine people. In November, they're going to elect people that finally get it.
But among those priorities that you did list in your State of the State letter to the legislature are two things that, personally, I don't think we can afford. We cannot not afford these to fall off the radar. And that is adequate representation when it comes to drug agents and adequate pay for state police so we can have the law enforcement we need in our state to protect ourselves.
I agree. And we got a few more drug agents, but what did I have to do? I had to go screaming with talk top of my lungs about black dealers coming in and doing the things that they're doing to our state. I had to scream about guillotines and those type of things before they were embarrassed into giving us a handful of DEA agents. So this is what it takes with this 127. It takes outrageous comments and outrageous actions to get them to off the dime. They just simply don't move. If they don't give us the money for the law enforcement, we're going to have to continue. You know, we're at 45. I think in total we're somewhere around 70 state law enforcement vacancies. If they don't take action this year, next year it'll be 80. It'll be that much more difficult to do our job, and people are going to be at risk. And it takes 18 weeks, I believe, to get them certified through the academy. So this is not a short-term problem. This is a long-term problem that's been festering, and they simply don't want to deal with it. I will tell you, it's not just in law enforcement. Another area we're struggling really mightily is in OIT, finding specialist computer system specialists that can prevent, you know, people from hacking, people from attacking the state. We get over 2.2 million attacks a day, and we are running with a staff that is in their mid to late 50s. Everybody's going to be retiring in 4 or 5 years, and we're just not competitive in the marketplace. We can't pay enough to bring talented people in.
Governor, just so many problems that evolve every day that logically fall on your desk. Staffing shortages at Riverview Psychiatric Center. There was a report from the retired Supreme Judicial Court Chief Justice Daniel Wathen that really it said, hey, you've got 51 shortages over there out of 364 jobs, and I want them filled now. He's the master that was appointed. Sure. Have you talked to Mary Mayhew about this? And
let me tell you something. George, we talk about it almost daily. We're trying anything and everything. We're trying to find people, these staffing agencies that will come in and send us temporaries. I will tell you, as long as Roger Cates keep having kangaroo courts in Augusta, you scare people away. They make what the newspapers and what the press at that hospital has been getting has been totally, totally over the top. And I am so ashamed of some of the people upstairs that are taking ill people, and they're making mockery of them for political gain. And I'm just saddened by what I see. As soon as they start working with us instead of against us, Mary Mayhew is doing the very best she can, but it's hard to find people to work when, one, you don't pay them adequately. Number two, you're constantly making fun of them in the newspaper or attacking them. Those type of things add to the challenge. There is a shortage of people in the state of Maine. I'm trying to get the legislature now to address the student loan debt so we can attract young people from around America to come to Maine, but they simply aren't listening.
Governor Paul DePage in the Blaine House speaking with us on the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. We had a discussion with DHS Commissioner Mary Mayhew last week, and also State Senator Ann Haskell, the Democrat of Portland, because both wanted to share their thoughts on the idea of transferring some of the most violent, some of the most, use the word, dangerous patients from Riverview to the IMHU at the Maine State Prison. Immediate pushback on this, but we got a solid response from people who work at Riverview and at the Maine State Prison, people that work with people who have mental illness that are violent. And they said to us on air that they think some of these patients do belong at IMHU. Are you still fighting for that?
No. I see, I've never really been a big fan of sending them to the Maine State Prison. What my plan is now, and I thought it was a reasonable approach at first, but you know, Ann Haskell and the socialists have decided that they're better off at Riverview and putting our staff in danger. So what we're thinking of doing now, Rick and George, is simply to build a facility that will house between 15 and 20 very violent people, and we'll house them separately. Now, in the event that there's an overflow and we fill all those beds and there are still more people coming in, then what we'd like to do is have an overflow situation where we could send them in Maine, the prison at Warren, in a short-term period until we can find a permanent bed for them.
Where are we going to find the money to do that?
Well, there again, you know, we're going to have to dig and scrounge and see if we can't get it done through a contract of some sort so people will do it on a per diem basis.
You continue to push for the tax conformity. The Democrats are pushing back against this $38 million. You call it a tax increase on Maine families. The Democrats in the House have been pushing back. I've heard the arguments both sides. Where are we on tax conformity?
I will tell you this. Now I'll give you my opinion, and I'll tell you where we are. Where we are is I believe the Democrats are going to are going to try to make a statement, and they're not going to conform. And that, and in some ways, that's sort of like having Christmas early, because if they don't, that gives me today until November to tell the Maine people what they did about conformity, because it is a tax increase. The rest of America is going to get a tax break from the federal government, which we know we are the highest tax country in the world, and we're going to be getting we're getting the federal government to give us a tax break. And the Democrats in the House of Representatives are saying, no, we want to redistribute that money the way we want to spend your money. And this is what I keep saying. There's no amount and there's nothing they will do to spend other people's money. And so I find that very troubling. And I think the Maine people are listening. And we'll solve this problem in November.
We saw Bangor business leaders with a statement yesterday through the Chamber of Commerce saying that they were for tax conformity. Talking with other representatives, say they're ready to fight for tax conformity.
Yep.
Average Joe Polk, maybe doesn't understand it, but you're telling us that this will mean money in our pocket as average Mainers.
Well, really what it means, I'll tell you, teachers, for instance, which I will be the first to tell you that a good teacher in Maine is significantly underpaid. Significantly underpaid. And many of these good teachers will take money out of their pockets and go to Walmart and buy school supplies and bring it in at their expense. Well, this tax conformity bill will allow them to deduct those expenses on their income tax and get some of that money back. Students with student loans, which is, you've heard, is one of my top priorities, is the federal government is helping them to deduct some of the student loans against their income. These are the type of things that I believe are necessary to make us prosperous, and that we've gone 40 years under a socialist and a liberal agenda, and it has not worked. Maine is no more prosperous today than it was when it started out. And so we need to try something new and something different. And what I'm doing is just trying to take the model that is being tried in Texas, in New Hampshire, in Florida, in North Carolina, South Carolina, and we're trying to implement some of those good public policies here. And I believe that good public policy is good politics, and the people are starting to recognize it. I see it every week in our town halls. They're getting bigger and bigger. We're seeing people... just a recent Gallup poll last week said Maine is no longer a blue state, is now a purple state, leaning to becoming a red state. People in Maine are getting it. It's just that some of the people in Augusta, particularly in the House, aren't getting it, and shortly 14 of them will be termed out, so that's going to help.
I guess we'll just make the final comment, Governor. Thank you for being on. Is it a good night for Chris Christie?
I hope so. I mean, I wish him well. I do believe that the next president of the United States should be someone who's been tried and tested, and I think any of the governors would do well for me. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump, although he should give me a stipend or he should give me a bonus for starting this whole thing about being outspoken. And I'll challenge him when this is over.
Okay.
Maine Governor Paul LePage in the Blaine House, a privilege every Tuesday. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.